The Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.thebenjamindixonshow.com to register for our blog and join the Progressive Army.
Today is Monday, January 9th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me. This is already shaping up to be a jam-packed weekend leading into a jam-packed show today. Kevin McCarthy, of course, finally became Speaker of the House after 14 tries. We'll talk about that just a little bit. Also in headlines, a six-year-old boy took a weapon to school to shoot his teacher. I'll be discussing that quite a bit today because that sounds about right in the United States of America for 2023 to begin 2023. The teacher has survived. Initially said that she had life-threatening injuries, but she has survived. We'll be discussing that. Also, California weather. The state is bracing for more storms after already 12 people have been killed. I mean, the drastic weather that we are facing all around the world really is foreboding. Like I said, it's a jam-packed show. Make sure you buckle up for the ride. Also, in Brazil, yeah, Brazil decided to have their own version of January 6th. The Brazilian nationalists who support Bolsonaro, the ousted president, he lost to Lula. His supporters decided to mirror what happened in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol on January 6th. His supporters stormed the facilities there, the Capitol facilities there in Brazil. And we'll discuss that a little bit today. There's not a weekend that goes by where something fascinating doesn't happen in this country. I do have to start with the six-year-old. And I don't think I'm troubled by this story particularly. Here's why. Well, the police report, which I am very reluctant to believe, right? We've learned in this country that you should always question whatever the police say. Now, in this case, the police say that this shooting was intentional. Now, if I were to find a good place for me to be able to pontificate, you know, and just run my mouth, it would be about the fact that a six-year-old in the United States of America can have the full intention of harming his or her their teacher and to carry out that thought. Now, this is based on the police report, which I'm loath to believe. I am not really... I tend to question everything the police say, but if what the police officers say in this case, then that student, that elementary school student from Virginia, intentionally picked up a weapon, six-year-old boy, picked up a weapon with the intention of harming their teacher, went to the school with the weapon, apparently no metal detectors, but okay, you know, I don't know that I want to live in a society where elementary school has to have metal detectors, but unfortunately, that's where we are. Okay, no metal detectors, though. Went to the classroom, pulled out the weapon, had the mind to load it. So we got to figure out where were the parents? You know, where were the parents? This country. And again, this rage or this, not even rage, like, what is this? This conversation that we're having about this six-year-old is predicated on the police report, which I am, you know, because I'm more prone to believe that a child took a weapon to school and wasn't fully aware of what would happen. But I guess then that makes me naive, right? That makes me naive because what six-year-old, I mean, six, you know, these kids are sentient pretty early these days. My four-year-old knows exactly what he's doing most of the time. Now, he doesn't know exactly what he's saying all the time. So maybe I shouldn't, you know, six-year-old to me seems like a child. And I think I'm fair in saying that. But it's hard for me to conceive that a child would have the intention and the opportunity and apparently some kind of motive, some kind of motive, and went to that school and shot his elementary school teacher. The report is saying, the news report saying that, of course, that triggered a series of lockdown alerts and the entire school went on lockdown. They were not sure whether or not it was a child. They believed that it was a grown man who was coming in there to shoot everybody. And so this strange incident that is hard for me to believe, because are we really that far gone in the United States of America? Because if you tell me, if I am to believe this police report, which I'm not predisposed to believe, not after all the times they've lied about everything as it pertains to the black community. But I mean, doesn't that sound about right? That American culture is so far gone that a six-year-old understands the ability to take a weapon that we worship in this country. He knew he could get a gun. And because, I don't know, what did the teacher give him, extra homework, and he didn't like the homework? What could the teacher possibly? And see, here's the problem. When you put so much power into the hands of children, and I'm not just talking about this six-year-old. Of course, everyone is going to say this is an anomaly, right? Everyone's going to say that this is an outlier, that this is not the norm, and so we shouldn't make decisions based on our cultural level decisions based on this incident. But is this child not a direct product of the United States of America's fetish for guns and our penchant for wanting to rage and lash out against, especially boys, against anyone we disagree with? Especially if we're disagreeing with the woman. Now, am I overcycle analyzing this six-year-old? Somebody needs to. Because if what the police officer said is true, and I'm predisposed to think that they're lying, right? Because as I read most of these articles, I did not see one explanation of why the police chief said that they believe that this was intentional. And then they said it with some heft, like the police chief said that they're going to go after the individuals involved. Translation, the parents are going to be held accountable. Got it. Okay. I'm not predisposed to believe anything that they say because they lie. But again, isn't that just America? That a six-year-old would do exactly what the hell the cop said here. Would be so angry about what? Not having an extra 5 minutes for recess? I mean, look at what could. I'm sorry. You know, did he not? Was he asking for an extra thing of pudding and the teacher said no? Do you see what happens when you put so much power into the hands of people or children? I'm talking about humanity right now. Are we even capable of handling the anger and the rage any better than this child? Because, of course, the child is overreacting based on being spoiled or wanting something. This is just, I'm going to go with what the officer said here. This child did it on purpose. Well, I don't know. Maybe he got put in timeout one too many times and he was like, damn it, I'm about to come and shoot this broad. This is America. This is America. A culture so depraved, so entangled with the worship of guns, that a six-year-old would understand. And you got to couple this. It's not just about guns. It's about the spoiled lashing out that occurs when we don't get our way as children. See, it trickles down from adults. You can't listen. Of course, kids are going to act like this in terms of being angry and overreacting. But when you put a weapon in the scenario and you already have a culture where guns are on everything, every commercial. They can't watch cartoons without seeing guns. They can't watch the news, obviously, and not see political advertisements of candidates with kids. This is the grooming that's really happening in this country. We're grooming our children to kill one another and think nothing about it. From hip hop to Republican politicians to cop culture, gun culture, to the military industrial complex. Every single part of this country is designed to indoctrinate our children into killing one another. And I want you to categorize this conversation underneath the category of the pan-reactionary movement that I talk about all the time. The global alliance between right-wing authoritarian would-be dictators. Vladimir Putin, Viktor Orban, Donald Trump, and Jair Bolsonaro from Brazil. January 8th in Brazil, 2023, is equivalent to January 6th, 2021 in Washington, D.C. In this case, the far right wing supporters of former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro decided to make like MAGA and storm Congress, their Congress, storm the Brazilian Supreme Court and the presidential palace on Sunday. The images look uncannily like January 6th. The only difference is it was a sea of yellow and green wearing the national colors. Generally, they were wearing the, and I have one of those soccer shirts. I remember when I wore it on air one time, one of the Brazilian soccer jerseys, or not jerseys, but a shirt. It was a polo, whatever. Somebody messaged and said, "Be careful, Ben, because that's the color. Those are the colors. That is the exact shirt and brand that the far right wing nationalists of Brazil use to identify each other. Much like the red Make America Great Again hats, the Brazilian soccer team's colors and logo and design, rather, that's what they rally behind. And so at least in Brazil, they had a little flair, a little style to them, and not dressed like a bunch of country bumpkins from Wichita, Kansas. But I digress. The point is that even though they were dressed better than MAGA, they are cut from the same cloth. I guess pun intended. I'm going to stop here because really, it's not a funny matter that these people are so convinced in their victimhood that they literally go and storm institutions that were built for them. Every nation on the face of this planet, with a few that happen to mostly be in the global south, they all model themselves after protecting the male, patriarchal, right-wing, capitalist structures that are at the core of these nations. It was the height of absurdity for maggots to storm the Capitol on January 6th because the Capitol already functions and serves them. What more do you want from the United States of America? Well, you know what they want. They want their figurehead, Donald Trump, just like these maggots down, not Make America Great Again, but they're analogous. They're cut from the same mold. They believe the same QAnon conspiracy theories. They subscribe to the same far right wing, zealotrous, anti-LGBTQ, hate-filled, bigoted religion, right? How big is a Catholic Church in Brazil? So they're totally okay with pedophilia, but they are attacking so-called groomers from the LGBTQIA community. They don't want it with us. They don't. And I say us, I just, you know, I'm an ally. They do not want the truth. These churches, these evangelicals, these right-wingers who want to claim that everybody is a groomer do not want to face the reality that their entire alliance, both the Orthodox Church in Russia, the white evangelical Christian nationalists here in the United States of America, the Catholic Church at large, especially as it's centered in Brazil, they all line up with the far right wing parties, nationalist parties of their nation. And they all seem to turn a blind eye to all the priests and preachers who are diddling little children, little boys. Same group that stormed libraries here in the United States of America. Their Brazilian friends cohort stormed the Congress, the Supreme Court, and the presidential palace over the weekend. If you want more evidence that this is the same spirit and alliance with Donald Trump, with Make America Great Again, Steve Bannon, former special assistant to former President Donald Trump, stepped into the fray of the conversation and calls Bolsonaro supporters who stormed Brazil's Congress freedom fighters. He has, according to Insider.com, Steve Bannon has hyped the protesters who stormed Brazil's Congress. The former Trump advisor has long stoked unsubstantiated rumors of election fraud in Brazil. In fact, all over Twitter right now, you can see the usual suspects in the United States who are election deniers. You see them supporting the election deniers in Brazil. Bannon has seized on the issue in the same way he did with Donald Trump's own election fraud claims, according to Insider.com. I hope that you can see very clearly that this is a global alliance of right-wing zealots, from the maggots here in the United States to Bolsonaro supporters in Brazil. Sitting President Lula da Silva issued a statement pledging punishment for the insurrection, because that's what it is. It is the Brazilian version of January 6th. It was a full-blown election denial insurrection that breached their secure facilities, all over the fact that their fascist would-be dictator was put out of office. But we're simply holding the line globally. We have the same problem here in the United States. At best, we are all holding the line against fascists that are knocking at the gate, who are storming the gates. What am I saying? Knocking. These clowns, these fascists, these evangelical zealots and Catholic and religious, demagogues, they are storming the gates of their own temples that serve them hand and foot. What more could these religious right-wing men actually want from humanity?
Go to www.patreon.com/thebpdshow and get twice the content and unfiltered interviews without any of the commercial interruptions.
And here we go. Very special welcome to four new patrons. Tanner Abraham, thank you so much for becoming a patron. Pam Brzezinski, thank you so much for becoming a patron. I love that last name. Jerry Morris, thank you for becoming a patron. And Denise Davis, oh, wait a minute. Thank you so much for becoming a patron. You too can become a part of this prestigious and prodigious patron family by going to patreon.com/thebpdshow, where you get twice the content, none of the commercial interruptions like you're getting ready to endure, and you get access to our patron party, which, if I'm not mistaken, DJ Exclusive is back up and running, so we're going to have one pretty soon. patreon.com/thebpdshow, and we'll be back right after this break.
Welcome back to the Benjamin Dixon Show. Visit us online at thebenjamindixonshow.com.
Welcome back. All right, we have been following the high drama, the Kabuki Theater of Washington, D.C. and the House of Representatives, and their inability to, until now, vote to elect a Speaker of the House. It took 14 tries before Kevin McCarthy was finally awarded the prize that he has been waiting for and fighting for his entire life. All he ever wanted to be was the Speaker of the House. And he very openly and unashamedly campaigned for it for a very long time, which is one of the reasons I believe these religious zealots like Lauren Boebert chose this as an opportunity to use for her own vanity. She and Matt Gaetz and Annie Biggs and the rest of the Get Along crew, they slowed down the progress of this country in order to heighten their profile. Again, I'm going to stand firmly by the fact that I believe that the people backing this contingency that took us to 14 rounds of voting, I think that they are fully and 100% backed by the Christian nationalists, the evangelicals, the ones who give Lauren Boebert a platform in their pulpits every single week, the ones who basically make her indistinguishable between a congressperson and Paula White supremacist. For those of you who don't know Paula White, a would-be black preacher who likes to use the tone, the tenor, and the tempo of the black church in order to get notoriety in evangelical pulpits. That's who's backing. That's what Lauren Boebert is, and that's who's backing her, and that's what led to the 14 rounds. Now, as it stands, Kevin McCarthy had to give up everything. So much so that Matt Gaetz finally caved in and voted present, but only after he realized he had nothing else to ask for. Kevin McCarthy had to sell his soul to the Neanderthal class of the the entire Republican movement is pretty Neanderthalitic, but I digress. The point is that Kevin McCarthy is on thin ice. I mean, he got what he wanted. He's Speaker of the House. But he has to answer to the likes of Lauren Boebert now and Matt Gaetz. He had to give up quite a bit as the details of the package, the rules package, are coming out. I want to play a couple of clips, though, because Kevin McCarthy is undaunted. He's taking it all in stride. He's keeping his chin up and he's keeping his bigot out because he is putting all of his emphasis this time around. In his leadership, he's going after wokeism.
We're going to pass bills to fix the nation's errant challenges, from wide open southern borders to American last energy policies to woke indoctrination in our schools.
Yes, applause, everyone. For the mysterious boogeyman of wokeism. We all know that the most terrifying thing happening at schools isn't the six-year-olds bringing guns to schools. It isn't the fact that our children have to wear bulletproof backpacks. It isn't the fact that schools are so grossly underfunded and given over to the greed and exploitation that leaves children hungry during lunch because they don't have enough money to pay for school lunch. Most schools in the black community don't have money for new books. I've taught at those schools. Those things aren't the problem. The problem is woke indoctrination, not the indoctrination that takes place with politicians giving their five-year-olds AK-47s to take the campaign picture, right? That's not indoctrination. When all these pastors and priests who get caught messing with little boys, that's not grooming. That's not indoctrination. What's indoctrination is teaching anyone about racism and white supremacy and systemic racism. That's the threat. And this is why Kevin McCarthy deserved every bit of embarrassment and shame that he got. In fact, I hope someone calls for a vote of no confidence soon so that he can become the historical joke that he really is. And every single politician, including the likes of Ron DeSantis, who we are going to keep our eyes on like a hawk. Ron DeSantis, who has pledged his life to opposing wokeism. He opposes wokeism, but wrote papers in support of slavery and the Confederacy. And I don't see any news reporters asking him about that every single day. He wants to play the game of culture wars. Then journalists need to constantly remind him the kind of son of a Confederate he really is. But I digress. Let me get back to Kevin McCarthy, because it's not just the woke culture that he's going after. He also wants to make sure that all of his rich friends, because this is really what it is. right? They have no problem using this anti-woke agenda to irritate us and to attack us. But at the end of the day, the thing that they are honestly there for, our lives are a game to them. What they're deadly serious about is not paying any taxes to this government, because the very first piece of legislation that they're going to vote on, if they haven't already, is to repeal the bill funding 87,000 new IRS agents.
I know the night is late, but when we come back, our very first bill will repeal the funding for 87,000 new IRS.
Oh, man, that one guy in the background sounded like he just got found not guilty of murder. The way he celebrated. These folks, nothing makes them more excited. Nothing shows you who they really are better than when it's time to pay their taxes. I mean, they literally, Grover Norquist said it like this. He said they want to make the government small enough that they could put it in a bathtub and drown it. Now, that's sociopathic in the description, period. But when you add it to the sociopathy of these greedy and cruel so-called Christians, but Christian nationalists, let's be clear, then you should understand the very nature of the beast that we're fighting against. That we are fighting against an all-in, well-funded, oligarchical class of elites who are as committed to destroying the infrastructure that the government provides as they are attacking us for being black, for being minority, for being gay, trans, whatever we are that's not approved by them. They are coming after us. And they're going to make sure that the government is defunded and weak enough to not be able to defend us, which is why we have to defend ourselves. I'm getting ready to end the public section and go over to the patrons only section. If you want access to that, go to patreon.com/thebpdshow. I'm going to talk about indoctrination a little bit more. I'm going to play a little clip of me and my kids this weekend, and it was a fascinating conversation about Elon Musk. I'm not going to play all of it. I'm going to play a small clip of it, and I'm going to talk about indoctrination because, you know, as much as you all are listening to me, my kids are listening to me. Here's a little preview.
But it's true. Elon Musk will be broke in a few years because he doesn't know what's what.
Oh, my God. What happened to him?
Just a little bit. You know, the question I had to ask them was how they found, why do they even know about Elon Musk? And that's when I realized, well, I've been doing my own type of indoctrination over here inadvertently. And you know what? I forgive myself because this is compared to what is going on the right.
Biden's a child molester. And he kidnaps children and does horrible things to them. Just like Hillary Clinton and Obama, who made the virus.
Now, I'm going to do my best not to say a whole lot about it right now. I want you to go to patreon.com/thebpdshow. I will just say this. I would measure my kids up against any of these maggots' children any day. I mean, not that it's a competition. It is. It's a meritocracy. And so anyway, I digress. patreon.com/thebpdshow. Later on this week, I will be speaking to several guests. The first will be a series of journalists that I'll be reaching out to, but this week we're starting the conversation on the Christian nationalism portion of this creeping authoritarianism. A lot of thanks and love to Professor Harvey Kay, who joined us all last week. We were able to share his interview parts 1, 2, and 3 as he gave us the historical perspective of how we got to this place of creeping authoritarianism. And we're going to continue that conversation. Also, later on this week, I will be speaking to some key organizers from the state of Mississippi about all of the actions taking place there, trying to get justice for black people who continue to be gunned down relentlessly by the state of Mississippi. Patreon.com/thebpdshow. Everyone else, I'll see you tomorrow.